That we will look right up to Behold, and then we'll sing our two pieces, and then we'll just briefly have what we're to become after we sing our two pieces. And Jenny has asked, they weren't able to record last week, so Jenny has asked that I just do a wee quick review of what we did last week, just to remind you. So last week we learnt that a woman of true faith chooses her words with care. I hope you have had lots of exercise this week to choose your words with care. I hope the people in your circle of influence have benefited from your exercise of choosing your words with care. We learned last week that although a small member, the tongue has the power to influence for good. And that was so encouraging. So a godly woman chooses to use kind, loving, thoughtful, and encouraging words in order to bless her circle of influence. And I trust that those around you have benefited from those kind, loving, thoughtful, and encouraging words this week that has passed. We continued that although a small member, the tongue is difficult, if not impossible, to tame on our own strength. And the tongue can be a destructive force. You remember we looked at the forest fire produced by a little spark. The tongue has the power to inflame and burn another's life. The tongue has the power to poison, and that poison can have a deadly effect on the heart of another person. And many of us may even have had that deadly influence from early days in school. I remember something that a teacher said as if it was yesterday, and it was not positive. It was destructive. The tongue can inflame, the tongue can poison, and this tongue can stain relationships. And James continued, the words from our mouth are an indication of what is going on in our hearts. Because Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we say these destructive words, we need to look deeper into the heart and say, what is actually going on in our hearts? Where did that word come from? And take a wee look within. We learned that the tongue needs to be bridled. We need to set a guard around our tongues. And the tongues need to be controlled or managed or steered by a perfect communicator. And we learned last week, the only perfect man is Jesus. And Jesus has the power and the ability to actually help us bridle our tongues. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we can call on the Holy Spirit to enable us to guard our tongues, or enable us to be bold and speak words of encouragement that strengthen another's life. So that was a summary of last week. But what of tonight? Tonight, chapter 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, verse 17. What an enormous chapter. But tonight's topic is, a true Christian woman exercises godly wisdom. Now, when I see that word exercise, that can be a challenge for me, because I'm not a natural exerciser. You might know just to have a look at me. And there are some of you who maybe actually enjoy exercising. There are some of you that actually maybe does physical exercise every day. Good on you. That is fabulous. There are some of us here who don't. But this passage tonight is not about physical exercise, but it's about exercising godly wisdom. And so James uses this passage to challenges in this area. So I want to suggest to you tonight that a woman of true faith, you remember we talked about how do you know genuine faith, and you look at real faith, and James talks about it here in this section. And so a woman of true faith chooses godly wisdom And then she skillfully exercises this wisdom in her everyday life. So there's a number of sections to this. We need to choose godly wisdom. And then we need to actually exercise it in our everyday lives. So in simplistic language, let me say this. A godly woman does the right thing in the right way at the right time. Wow. This is exercising godly wisdom, doing the right thing in the right way at the right time. So let's zoom in with James and let's journey through our subject tonight. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Turn with me to the passage in your book and look with me at verse 13. James begins our study this week with a question. He loves questions. And he asks the Christian readers, I want to remind you, you may forget halfway through, you may think James isn't talking to the Christians, but actually he is in chapter 4, which is a wee bit of a challenge. So these are Christians reading this letter, and he asks them the question, who is wise and understanding among you? Well, now, you would expect if he was speaking to Christians that they would all say, we are. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct. So we know that we're wise and understanding when we look at our conduct. By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Wow, what a challenge. Sadly for these Christians that James is writing to, not all of them were wise. And not all of them were understanding. And not all of them were conducting themselves in the meekness of wisdom. And so James felt the need under the Spirit of God to write to them. I would suggest to you that godly wisdom involves a choice from our hearts. I was saying to you that I don't exercise much physically because I don't choose to. And there's where you need to begin. You need to make a choice. I am going to exercise godly wisdom. And it's a choice from the heart. And being a Christian does not automatically mean that we will be wise and understanding. Otherwise, James would not have to write this in his letter. I want to suggest to you from this passage that wisdom is a gift that we need to pursue. And wisdom is a gift that we need to receive into our lives. It's not you've become a Christian, you are automatically wise. If only that were true. Now, I celebrated my 65th birthday yesterday. And if you were on Facebook, apparently it's all over it. I'm not sure how that happened, but anyway. Now, the fact that, and I tell Jonah and Maisie, Jonah, speak softer, Maisie, speak softer. My ears are 65 years old. But the fact that I am all 65 years old does not necessarily mean that I am wise or wiser, unfortunately. So age doesn't necessarily mean that we're wiser. And wisdom from above does not automatically come with age or experience. You would think if you went through a whole load of experiences, you would end up being wiser. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. Maybe you would think if you were educated. Well, to a degree, I've had good education. It hasn't necessarily made me wiser. There are people who are of great intellects. They're far from wise. So it's not age, it's not experience, it's not wisdom or intellect. It's not even success or riches or politics or any of these things the world have to offer. In fact, all of these things can be a hindrance to godly wisdom because you can rely on your intellect, you can rely on your age and experience, you can rely on all these other things and actually say, do you know what? I don't need godly wisdom. women of true faith choose to seek after wisdom from above, and they choose to pursue it until they find it. So we need to ask the question, what is wisdom? Now, you were asked this question in your first week of study, in case you've forgotten. You were asked to look up wisdom in a dictionary and see what it said. And when I looked up in the dictionary the first week, here's what my dictionary said. It said, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge well. So wisdom is not knowledge. That's a part of it. Wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge well. That's what the dictionary said. It also said it's the ability to judge wisely. So there you see, wisdom is action. It's not knowledge, it's knowledge in action. It's knowledge being exercised in our lives. Now, the word wisdom here that we're talking about in this particular section, the Hebrew word for wisdom, chokma, means leading the heart in the right direction. I like that. The Hebrew word gets to the heart, and this is where James is getting to in this passage. So I'm suggesting to you that biblical wisdom is seeking God's opinion on a matter and allowing his knowledge to direct and guide our hearts and our actions. So when we think about wisdom tonight that comes from above, we're saying this is biblical wisdom from above, and it's seeking God's opinion on a matter. Do you remember I said earlier? When I need to know God's opinion, should I leave Newton Breda and go to Ballymena? Wow, I need God's opinion, I can assure you. So biblical wisdom seeks God's opinion and then allows that knowledge that we have received to direct and guide our hearts and our actions. That's biblical wisdom. So let me repeat James' question to you tonight. Who is wise and understanding among you? Are you seeking God's opinion on your life? And are you allowing that opinion, that knowledge, to direct and guide your heart and your life on a daily basis? Because the verse says, by your good conduct, show your wisdom through your works. So I ask you tonight, are you wise and understanding, and are you showing it in your lifestyle? Sadly, God's opinion doesn't just drop out of the sky automatically and fall on us and bathe us in wisdom. And all we've got to do is get up and walk in it. That's not how it happens. We need to search for God's wisdom. We need to pursue God's wisdom. We need to work to get God's wisdom. And we know that we find it. I'm looking for the Bible. Don't know what I've done with it. We find God's wisdom primarily in his word. And if we're not reading God's word, you can be absolutely sure that you are going to be tempted not to walk in God's way, not to be walking wisely. We need to be reading God's word in order to know God's mind and opinion on how to live our lives. This is primarily how we find God's wisdom. We come to church on a Sunday. We need to have ears open and ready to hear God speak through his preached word. We need to be coming into church on Sunday saying, God, share your wisdom with me personally into my life. Show me what I need to do this week, tomorrow, with my children. Show me how to train them in the way that they should go. God, you know them individually. You know their names. Or God, I need to choose the A-level subjects, or I need to choose which college to go to. As I come to church on Sunday, speak through your word to me personally. And so we need to hear God's word as it's preached and apply it into our hearts. Go God's word tells us how God wants us to live. And we need to be open to receive it and then apply what we hear into our daily lives. Now, because it's not automatic, James was very wise. And he knew that there are a number of areas that can hinder us receiving God's wisdom. And so in chapter 4, in verse 14, he zooms in and he says these words. Look with me at verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. In other words, do not lie. So if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast and don't lie. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. James is speaking to Christians. This is quite shocking. He's saying to Christians, if you as a Christian have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, wow. If you do, be careful what you say. Don't boast and don't lie. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. To Christians. Here James distinguishes between the wisdom that we have exercised in our lives, all of our lives before we become Christians. From our birth, we are born with a selfish bias. He talks about selfish ambition in your heart. We're born that way. We can't help it. Even the cutest grandchild, it's hard for me to say that, is born with a selfish bias. They've inherited it from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were perfect, and they listened to the wisdom of the devil. And they not only listened to his wisdom, but they exercised it, and they made the wrong choice. And sadly, from then, the Garden of Eden, right to today, 21st of June 2016, we are doing the same. We are listening to wisdom that's coming from other sources. The wisdom we've inherited from our parents or our circle of influence. The wisdom we've received from the educational upbringing that we've had. The wee bits and pieces from church. And we allow whatever is in our heart, selfish ambition, to motivate and how we exercise our wisdom. And so James is saying, be very careful. How are we to know the difference between earthly wisdom that we're born with and with that bias? How are we to know the difference between earthly wisdom and wisdom from above? Look with me at verse 16. And he says this, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Whenever we experience any hint of disorder or any hint of a vile practice in our lives as Christians, it doesn't even seem right to say that together. We need to examine our hearts to see what is motivating that. Is it selfish ambition? Is it jealousy? What is it that's motivating disorder? In contrast to the disorder of earthly wisdom, in contrast, I can't wait to get to verse 17. It says this. I've been waiting to read 17 all since we started. The wisdom from above, God's wisdom, wait for it, is first of all pure. Don't you want it? Don't you desire it? pure wisdom, not a hint of selfishness in it, then it's peaceable. You see, this dimension of being pure, it's rightly motivated. It's not for self. It's for the glory of God. It's peaceable. It's peace-loving. This wisdom that God gives is peace-loving and peace-promoting. Oh, the wisdom that comes from above is gentle. You will know it in somebody's conduct by their gentleness, their kindness, their sweet reasonableness. That's from above. The wisdom that comes from above is open to reason. You will know if you are in a discussion or an argument or a quarrel or a fight or whatever, you will know if God's wisdom's in the middle, if someone in that area is open to reason. You need to look up, God's here. It's full of mercy. The wisdom from the earth is the opposite, the total opposite. The wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial. It's impartial, ladies. Oh, when we're in the midst of a quarrel in the family with the children or the young people or whatever, how we need to call on God for his wisdom, and we need to be impartial. We need his impartiality. And wisdom from above is sincere and without show. Wow. Oh, what a challenge. This is how we're called to live. We are called to ask God, as godly women, to ask God for his wisdom in all of these qualities. And we're called to grasp that and apply it to our lives and live this out as lights in Bangor or wherever we live. In our families, in our marriages, with our siblings, as a light in the darkness. We need to make a choice. Are you up for it? Are you up for an exercise program that involves pursuing godly wisdom? This godly wisdom, it's promised in the next verse, produces a harvest of righteousness. Oh, how we need this in our families. A harvest of righteousness. In family disputes, a harvest of righteousness. In the midst of the disputes, we need to be calling for the wisdom that is from above, and we need to be open to have our hearts changed. We need to be open to get rid of jealousy and envy and anything that is in our hearts that would hinder the flow of this wisdom through our lives. The reality is, James knew. He already knew that these Christians receiving this letter were quarreling and fighting. To stand back and look at chapter 4 and to remind ourselves, he's speaking to Christians. And he's saying, what is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? He's asking that. He knows what's causing them, because he goes on to tell them. But he's asking them the question to think about it, reflect on it. And it's a good question for us to reflect on in our lives. I don't know your circumstances just as well. But could I ask you, what is causing the quarrels and the fights that are going on in you, in your life, in your relationships? James says, he tells them, is it not this, that the passions are at war in you? James uses military language here, you sort of want to go, James, could you just mellow a little? He goes straight for it. This is language of war. He says in verse 2 to 4, look with me at verses 2 to 4. What causes these quarrels? You desire, here we're back into the heart, our heart's desires. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You, as a Christian, covet, and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And wait for it in verse 4. You need to take a breath. You adulterous people. You nearly want to say, James, could you put your guard on here in what you're saying? This is a wee bit strong. We're all Christians. You adulterous people. Do you not know? They did know. But they just weren't exercising their knowledge. They did know that friendship with the world is enmity against God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. These are uncomfortable verses, to put it mildly. I find it an uncomfortable study. You want something, James is saying, and when you don't get it, you become disappointed, angry, jealous, bitter, and some even murder in their thoughts. You covet someone's wealth, or you covet someone's relationship. You covet someone's intelligence. You covet someone's fitness. You covet someone's health or gifting. And when you don't have what they have, you fight and quarrel. He goes on to say, you're proud and you don't ask God for help. You see, when we don't ask, we actually think we don't need to. We're proud. God hates pride. And when you ask from a selfish motive. You ask for yourself and you don't receive. And James calls them what they are, adulterous people. He says to them, you have left your first love. Adultery is when someone leaves the love that they're covenanted to. And if we're covenanted to Christ, we are his bride. And when we live like this, we lose our relationship of love. And we read in verse 5, God is righteously jealous for our love. The Lord loves us. It is amazing. He knows our sin. He loves us even while we're sinners. He loves this crowd of folk that James is writing, and he loves us in spite of our sin. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he will never cease loving us. But we can cease to love him. And the amazing truth is, he alone can satisfy these desires in our heart. He alone. And yet he is the one we do not go to automatically. Now, ladies, maybe like me, you've been challenged with this study. And maybe like me, you're feeling a wee bit overwhelmed. This seems so huge, so out of my ability to do. This is a war, and I don't like wars inside. I'm not a confrontationalist. I want to be a peacekeeper. You know, at all costs, keep the peace, but not a peacemaker. And for everyone, look into our hearts. And I examined my heart this week and looked in to see what's causing these issues that are coming out of my mouth. What's going on inside? So when that angry word comes, you think from nowhere. Oh, it's not nowhere. It's been harbored in your heart. You have put an anchor down somewhere. You haven't dealt with that hurt wisely. You've allowed a bitter root to grow up and defile you. It's in the heart. And God wants us to deal with the issues that are in our hearts. He wants us to come to Him with the issues that are in our hearts. He wants to heal our hearts, cleanse our hearts, uproot our hearts. He wants our hearts to be good ground, ready to receive His word and bring forth a harvest of righteousness. And just like Jenny talked about the garden last week, you and I know that if we allow weeds in our garden, they take over. It's natural. And we need to uproot the weeds of jealousy in our hearts. The weeds of selfish ambition. The weeds of speaking evil of one another in the passage. The weeds of boasting, the temptation to boast. But look below and say, what is that all saying? But for every one look in our hearts, we need to take 10 at Christ. Because if I spent too long looking into my heart, I would be on the ground. I wouldn't go anywhere, say anything, or do anything. So God's word says, and James says, the whole reason I want you to look in your heart is to examine your heart and then look away to God. Because do you know what he says? I love it in verse 6. It's like the light in the darkness. He says, look away to God, to the God who gives more grace. The God who yearns jealousy for your love. And the God who gives more grace. Grace to cover all your need. Grace to cover all your woundedness. Grace to cover all your sin. And we have won. We can behold Jesus. Do you know what it says of him in Colossians 2 verse 4? So we're going to look up, we're going to look to Jesus, and then we're going to sing. It says of Jesus, in him, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him, he has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that we need. And we're called to ask. We're called to claim. We're called to seek and pursue his wisdom. It tells us, for in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. We learn that wisdom from above is peaceable. And in Christ, he is the chief peacemaker. If we need peace for these wars and quarrels, we need to ask the peacemaker. Peacemaking for Jesus was costly. And to exercise this wisdom from above is costly. It involves discipline. It involves coming back when we fail. It involves keeping at it and persevering in the discipline of choosing to exercise the wisdom from above. Peacemaking for Christ was costly. It cost him. It involved rejection, hardship, misunderstanding, ridicule, aloneness, the wrath of God, crucifixion, death, resurrection, and glory. And if we choose godly wisdom, it's going to cost us in our circle of influence. But we can hold on to the truth. It will eventually produce a harvest of righteousness. So let's spend time now singing our two songs and focusing on... Wow. This is the hope. We're people in process. We're people becoming the women God wants us to be. And we need to be soft clay, easily moulded. James very helpfully, I've maybe been a wee bit hard on James, I hope not. James very helpfully in the chapter 4 gives 4 things that will help us make the right choice. 4 things that will help us choose and exercise godly wisdom. And you were to fill these in your homework. And it's in verse 7b to 10. I'm just going to say the 4 things and give you an illustration. In verse 7b, James says this. If you want to be a godly woman who's exercising wisdom from above, you need to take God seriously. In verse 7b, submit yourselves to God. This is taking God seriously. Get alone with the Lord and ask for his help to apply his word to your life. Take God seriously. And we take God seriously when we submit to his will and his wisdom. I just want to give you an illustration. I talked there about journaling to discover God's will as to whether we should move church. For me, that's a biggie. And the first time that, the first call that came to move from Newton Breda to Ballymena, we had 2. The first one came, and I started journaling. And I sensed in my readings that God was asking us to go. It's never actually been an issue for me as to know whether we should go or stay. That always comes quite clear for me. That's not always clear for everybody, but for me it was clear. He was asking us to go. We prayed so much about the matter. And I eventually said to Freddie on a Monday night, I will go. But I want to say this here and now, and the folk in Ballymena know this, so it's not a secret. I was going to go physically, but I was not going in my heart. Because, you see, what they didn't know and what I knew was inside of my heart, I did not want to go. But I knew when God's word was clear, I had to go. And I was going out of duty and not out of submission in my heart. I was doing what Johnny said or Sharon did in the back seat of the car. Her dad says to her, sit down, when there wasn't these belts and everything. And she plonked herself on the seat and she said, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing in my heart. And you see, true biblical submission in verse 7 is sitting down on our seat and sitting down in our hearts. Or for me, moving to Ballymena, heart and life. But I wasn't there. You see, what Freddie didn't know and what they didn't know, but God knew. I had an ambition. I had a desire in my heart that made me want to stay. And you see, there's the journey. Because the interesting thing, I said on the Monday night, I will go. Gritted teeth. And the next morning, God clearly told Freddie not to go. He wakened him through the night and said, it's not the time. You see, it was right to go, but it wasn't the right time, because I had a journey to go in my heart. And that for me is the biggest challenge, to get to the heart, to look inside, to say, what is going on in here? What's holding me back, saying, your will be done? Whatever, whenever, however. Wow, that's the big journey for me. And the amazing thing is, by the time the second call came, guess what? The journey had been completed. And I was now ready to say, I am ready to go, because the hard work was done. I had to confess my sin. I needed to seek the cleansing blood of Jesus. And I needed to be open to hear his voice. There was a hindrance in my heart. We need to submit from our hearts. And secondly, we need to take Satan seriously. It tells us here, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Many of us have stopped resisting. We've waved our white flag and we've given in. The battle is too great. I can't do it. I am tired and weary. And we've waved the white flag. And the devil has rushed in. We need to choose to resist the devil with the strength that God gives. And watch him flee. Thirdly, in verse 8, take prayer seriously. Ladies, if we're not submitting in our hearts, we're not choosing to exercise godly wisdom. If we're not resisting the devil, we're not using the means that God gives us to enable us to choose godly wisdom. And if we're not praying, we're not using what God has given to us in order to choose godly wisdom. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need to talk our desires through with Jesus. He is amazing. Freddie will ask me to summarize in a sentence. It's very hard to do if you're talking about hard issues. God doesn't have that. God has all the time in the world, all the patience to listen. And I can spend as long as I wish talking my desires and my issues through with God until I get to the place of saying, your will be done, your way, in your time. And fourthly and finally, take sin seriously. We need to say it as it is in our hearts. There's no point in pretending. If there's jealousy there, we need to admit it. If there's envy there, we need to admit it. If there's covetousness there, we need to admit it, and we need to uproot it. Take sin seriously. And in verse 9, mourn over your sin. I wonder how long it's been since you've mourned over what's gone on in your heart. It's good to grieve over our sin. And in verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord. You see, by the time you get to that stage, by the time you have opened your heart and confessed your sin and sought God in prayer, and we wept over your sin by that stage, you're on your face, and that's the good place to be. You're humble before the Lord. And here's what he says. James says in verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and the God that we worship will exalt you. He will lift you up. So ladies, we may know all this in our heads. We've filled in our homeworks. We know the four things that you're meant to do to help you exercise godly wisdom. But it's one thing in our heads. Women of true faith choose to put these into practice in their everyday lives. So what do we need to do? We need to take sticky notes and stick them on our fridge or on our wall to remind us, or in the loo, to remind us of these four areas, to remind us to choose to exercise godly wisdom and seek God's help every day. So we're going to pray. And this is a good opportunity for you to talk to God. He is amazing. He can hear us all at the one time. He's actually not restricted by time whatsoever. And he knows us by name. He knows our lives and our circumstance, and he is longing to hear our voice. So let's take this quiet time to talk with him, to ask him whatever. And there are women who will be available to pray with you from the prayer team if that would also be a help. So let's just have a few minutes quietness, and then I'll close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of grace. And we ask our God that your will be done in our lives. And that you will give us the power of your Holy Spirit to exercise godly wisdom, to exercise the wisdom that is from above. Each new day in our circle of influence. And may we each see in our time and generation the harvest of righteousness. For the glory of our God, the extension of God's kingdom, and the impact on our families. In Jesus' name, amen.